It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes it off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby!
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders!
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, as we begin today. A really tough show as we open it up. It's our Raider Mort tribute show. I'm JT in Las Vegas on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Raider Nation Radio, you can hear us on the Raiders mobile app. You can watch on my YouTube channel as we open up the show here. These are the type of shows that you kind of never want to do, but these are the shows that I have to do because my dear friend Steve Mortara passed away. The Raiders put out a beautiful statement on his impact and his life and what he meant to the organization. And then today we decided to jump in and get going here and have a really interesting show today because I want to pay tribute to a friend that I lost. So what we're going to do for 2 hours is talk about the life of Steve Mortara, Raider Mort. If you met him, give us a call. Come on in, talk about his life. Maybe you met him at a tailgate. Maybe you met him at WPLJ's. Maybe you heard him on the radio. And you'll want to talk about him and really pay tribute to him. I never thought I'd host this show in memory of Mort. I thought Mort would outlive us all. He was in elite shape. He was a super athlete. He was a legendary athlete at San Jose State. He was a school teacher. He owned a nightclub. He never missed a Raiders home game. He went to the Super Bowls, and he took me in, and he let me live with him. He went to my wedding, and every Raider game that I ever went to, I spent more time with Mort than anybody, either sitting in his seats, in the West Side Club, at the tailgate, in the black hole, whatever it was. And I always said goodbye to him when, you know, I was going to work to do the post-game show or afterwards jumping on BART to go out and catch a flight. And, you know, he was a great friend. And I really mean that. He was a dear, dear friend of mine who we lost way too soon. So I was just away back east when I got the news, and it gutted me. It really hurt. And I wasn't able to get back to the celebration of life. I know members of the Black Hole went and friends were able to go. And on behalf of me, say some kind words to the people around there. And I wish my wife and I could have attended. And I thought I'd be seeing Mort for the rest of my life. And he knew my kids really well. He loved my wife. And he loved everything that I was doing throughout my career. He gave me tremendous inspiration and encouragement. And that's all I can ask for in a friend. And I'm going to miss him really bad. So for today, I never want to do this. The last time I did it was for Black Hole Rob Rivera, who passed away, one of the founding members of the Black Hole. Of course, we do it for Raider players and legends like Jim Otto. We did a whole show for him, but Mort's up there. Mort's on the Mount Rushmore of the greatest fans of all time in the history of this organization. So I hope today people will indulge me in a couple of hours to grieve. I hope people will give me 2 hours to talk to people. We got a couple of former Raider legends lined up who are going to join us. Other people in the industry. I reached out to some people who said, of course, they'll come on. And I'm going to just try to play traffic cop, try to keep it moving here. So if you remember Mort and you knew Mort and you want to pay respects to him, I think that's the least we can do. Our number is 702-365-9200. And, you know, Mort discovered me on radio, doing late night radio. And then he said, why don't you're moving to the Bay Area, you're coming up here, why don't we have a party for you at my bar, WPLJ's? And 80 to 100 people showed up, and I never even were there. Didn't even crack the microphone when I was moving up there. And I'll never forget that night in that room. I brought my buddy Todd up with me from Vegas, and we stayed at Mort's house. And we had a wild night in his bar. It was really cool. And then we built this friendship, and the friendship was real. And I'll never forget, I'm going to be telling stories throughout the show about Mort, but there were also times where, you know, Mort wasn't going to the Super Bowl in San Diego. He was trying to get tickets and it wasn't happening. And I called Bruce Allen, who was a senior assistant to GM. He goes, what are you talking about? We're not having a Super Bowl without Mort. He FedExed two tickets from Ward to go to the Super Bowl. And we're putting up pictures here on the YouTube channel. If you today's a great day to subscribe to my YouTube channel because we got a bunch of really cool photos. And my son is navigating this and helping me out along the way. So if you'd like to look at our YouTube channel, JT the Brick YT. So we got a lot of people who are going to call in, so I'm going to get rolling here. Raider D is going to start us off. One of the great also legends of the black hole in the Oakland Coliseum parking lot. And D, I know you got a heavy heart. You were really tight with Mort.
Yeah, man. And Mort was a great man. He lent himself to a lot of different charities we did together, you know, like the Run Jones, man. And the meeting up in the parking lot at the Black Hole, man, the stories you would hear from Mort. Mort knew more about football than anybody I know, man. Any game, any teams. And he was equally a Warriors fan. He held season tickets to the Warriors, the Raiders, the A's. Whatever sports it was, man, he knew high school, college, pros. Man, he could tell you about the games, the great players, because he was one, man. And he's going to be missed, man. It'll never be another chairman of the board of the Raider Nation. And he was always on top in my heart and in my mind.
Yeah, D, we had a lot of good times, man. You introduced me to a lot of your crew in the parking lot, and a lot of times you and I would hook up, and then Mort would be there, and then we'd walk over to the black hole, and then we'd go back, and you were cooking with your crew and try to hook up there at the games. But I remember the nights we had at Ricky's and other events there, and, you know, Mort was elegant, man. He was a dapper-looking man who controlled the room, and whenever he pulled you aside to talk to you, he really looked you in the eyes, and he talked in depth about his friendship, and he talked in depth about the Raiders. I don't know many people who love the Raiders as much as Mort, man. It was his life in a good way. He loved the Raiders, man.
Yeah, if you hung out with him, you left a lot smarter. And I'll never forget the night we were in WPLJ. We went back into the office. It was Artie Gigantino. You were on the air, man. You set it up real nice, you know, for the Murderer's Row, a Raider Mort, the Chris from West Oakland, Artie Gigantino. It was George Atkinson, man. So, man, the memories, man, I will never die.
Thanks, D. I hope to see you soon, man. You mean a lot to me. Thanks for leading us off today. Perfect. Yeah, there he is, Raider D. What a great legendary Raider fan, too. You know, it's just fascinating, the friendships that were built out of this. And I got a lot of people to get to as the show is what I expected today. If you want to get in early, 702-365-9200. Chris in West Oakland comes in here, another great friend of Raider Mort. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, JT, great hearing from Raider D, man. He's right about all those days at WPLJs, which it's funny, when you first got to the Bay Area back in 98, we were doing, it was either 98 or 99, we were doing, A's were playing the Giants, and you were doing one of your, you know, deals in the parking lot where everybody got together. Ricky Ricardo brought a bunch of chicken wings, and I remember that day Mort came, and it turned out we'd known each other from WPLJs, didn't know who each other was, and we hit it off immediately. I mean, we bonded because, you know, we both played college basketball, and a lot of people don't realize this about Mort. Like you said, guy was a phenomenal athlete. He loved basketball as much as anything. He was a diehard Raider fan, but the guy lived and breathed basketball, which made me and him hit it off really well. But it was just, like I said, the chairman of the board, I don't know. There's so many different directions I can take this call, man. I just feel like on a personal level, much like you, JT, Mort did a lot for me. It's our friendship meant a hell of a lot more, you know, off the air and, you know, just in private than what you hear on the radio. I remember he would call me all the time to come and help him at his storage unit in Los Gatos, you know, move stuff around. And what should have took 2 hours would probably end up taking us 7 or 8 because we'd sit there. He'd have stacks of – people don't understand the amount of memorabilia and Raider archive stuff. He'd have old game magazines. He'd show me a ball from Warren Wells caught this in 1965 autographed. Or here's a game program from the 1968 AL championship game, and he'd break down the third and four play from Len Dawson where the Raiders got screwed out of a touchdown by Nehemiah Wilson when the ref hit the ball on the ground. He was a walking, talking encyclopedia. And much like you, JT, back in 2014, you know, I was waiting for a house to be ready that I was moving into, and I needed a place to stay for a month. I didn't even have to ask. Mort said, well, you know, I got plenty of room. If you don't mind the commute, come down here. So that little, you know, that little bedroom with the side entrance that you stayed in, I ended up staying in. Unfortunately, only 2 weeks because I was living with Mort when my father passed away. And outside of my immediate family, Mort was probably the first phone call I made. So, again, just through all the good times in the years, and I wish Ricky's was still alive because the amount of memorabilia Mort had could literally fill a museum. This guy's got the game ball that Clarence Davis caught in the Sea of Hands catch. I don't know what's going to happen with all that stuff, what his family's going to do, but I hope somewhere, someday, somebody does it justice and it doesn't all get thrown away in a dumpster or tried to sell off an auction. But just let me finish this, man. You said it right. The only man I ever referred to when it comes to Raider knowledge is Raider Mort. If I needed a question, I trusted this guy more than Google. This guy didn't need a phone and didn't need to look at everything. He knew it off the top of his head. He was literally a walking, talking historian. Not just the Mount Rushmore of Raider fans. He is the Raider fan. It's very fitting that this guy was the first Hall of Fame member from the Raiders when Visa did their fans. Truly is the chairman of the board. There'll never be another Raider Mort. This guy, like I said, rest in peace, brother. I'm starting to get a little broken up, JT, because of the friendship this guy had. I wish me and you kind of know what happened, towards the end. I wish the latter years of his life would have been a little different. But you know what? It was still an extraordinary life, well lived. I'm looking forward to hearing all the tributes today. Rest in peace, brother. I love you, Raider Mort. You know, until we meet again one day, the Modellos and Crown Royals are going to be iced, and there's going to be a whole lot of toast tonight. Thanks for letting me get in here today, JT. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, and it's interesting as we're paying tribute to our friend Raider Mort, the chairman of the board. I just don't know of anybody who had that much knowledge in sports, and I grew up with my dad having that much knowledge in sports. And my dad met Mort a few times. He was just different. And the more I did a deeper dive into Mort's life, and Chris knows what I'm talking about, he suffered a stroke a little while ago, and Chris and I and other people were just trying to help him because we were very worried at the end of his life. He didn't have anybody to care for him. He wasn't married. He didn't have kids to care for him. And this was our ultimate nightmare. This was the scenario that we never wanted to see happen. And it really hurt because I tried, man. I tried really, really hard. I tried with all my heart to try to help and to try to tell him to just get better and come to Vegas and get here and be a part of what we're doing here. And he just couldn't see. He couldn't see the forest through the tree that was right in front of him. And what could have been an end-of-a-life scenario for him would have been really special. And I tried. I gave it everything I had. And it really pains me, and it's going to stay with me. And as Chris talks about all that memorabilia and what he had, I just hope, as Chris says, it goes to the right people. I hope that his family see this and their family gets this and they understand what we're talking about. They do the right thing with it because this guy could have a museum. There could be a Raider Mort Museum of what he did as a human being, let alone all the Raider memorabilia he has. So I hope someone who's looking over that does the right thing, because I can tell you right now, I would take it all, and Mark Davis would take it all and use it for Raider history down the road. That's how important Mort is. Stoner Dude was a great friend of Raider Mort, a great friend of ours, a big part of our legacy on the radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, JT, a lot of people always refer back to 1998. You know, that was the year you say you started with the Raiders and Gruden was hired, and that was the year that I moved to Oakland, Alameda, and that's when I started listening to you, and I would hear you 2-3 times a day, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, and that's how I got to hear callers like Raider Mort. I mean, and Raider Mort, man, I finally got to meet him really soon after that at one of the Raider rallies, and we just became general friends, and then next thing you know, we were doing a radio show, internet radio show, way back then when there was no, you know, iPods and podcasts. We were just doing stuff on the internet because we were so into radio, and we loved it, and we loved talking sports and various other things. Like Chris from West Oakland just talked about how he related to Mort about basketball. With me, it was Motown and music and the Temptations, his favorite band. And I got to sit next to him every week for 5 years and just listen to him talk. And I mean, all I could do is listen, because what am I going to say when you got Raider Mort next to you? But anyways, he was an encyclopedia of knowledge. Like everyone says, he loved sports. He loved life. He loved music. He loved the Raiders like nobody else. He was me. He goes back to Frank Yule Field, man. He was there from the beginning. And he was a rock star and legend back then. So all these years later, and I did get the chance to talk to him a couple times this last year. And I know he had some failing health, and I was feeling really bad too, JT. But, you know, I was hoping he'd come out as well. But obviously that didn't work out. But, man, I will remember Raider Mort, all his stories about Willie Lanier and Buck Buchanan, the linebackers for the Chiefs, and, you know, Sid Gilman and the Chargers and the AFL. He had it all. He knew it all. One of a kind. I love Raider Mort. I will miss you forever. Thank you, JT.
Thank you, my friend. I know he loved you. I know he loved you a lot. Just got this in from Raider Man, number 19. Can't call because I don't have phone service right now. I'll forever respect Raider Mort and send my sincere condolences to everyone affected by this loss. God's rest, God's Raiders oath, the black hole for life. Yeah. Raider Mort was in the black hole. He did a lot of the black hole inductions into the Black Hole Hall of Fame, including this gentleman, one of the greatest Raiders to ever live, Phil Villapiano. Joins us on this tribute to the great Raider Mort. Foo, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Raider Mort loved you, man. He loved Franco. He loved the history. He loved, and he saw every game you ever played in Oakland.
Yeah, he was a classic. I don't know if anybody could say it better than the gentleman you just had on. That was an excellent tribute to Mort. I just think that he was nuts, and I enjoyed him because he was so into the Raiders. I almost got afraid a few times because, you know, he would almost hyperventilate getting so excited about the Raiders and something the Raiders would be doing. That guy was true 100%, and it's, you know, I think, JT, I think there is isn't there a Hall of Fame for all of our
fans,
you know,
yeah.
Our characters?
Yeah, and, yeah. Raider Mort is the first ever Raider fan to get in Canton, Ohio, when the real NFL had the Visa Hall of Fans. But one of my big memories was when you brought Franco Harris back. And you brought him out to the parking lot to induct Franco Harris into the Black Hole Hall of Fame. And Mort was on the mic, and Mort inducted him and gave the history of Franco. And I looked at Mort. I said, Mort, you gotta cut down this speech. There's like 1,000 people here. They know that Franco went to Penn State. They know. They don't need to know how many yards he had in, you know, 1973. But yeah. Mort was so thorough about that. And, Foo, that's what you were so great about, too. You understood these fans from Santa Rosa to the Coliseum to Pasadena and the Super Bowl. And, you know, the great Raider fans are on the Mount Rushmore of football fans.
Yeah, they are, JT, and they're one of a kind. And, you know, what's happened, you know, the Raiders started, you know, Raider Nation. Then pretty soon the whole world's got a Bills Nation or Chief Nation. Hey, everything the Raider fans do, everybody copies. And it's almost a shame, but you can't blame them because the Raider fans are just different and so good. And I'm just, you know, and let's dedicate this season to Mort and let's win some games and let's get this, you know, this spirit back. And I haven't been excited, even though, hey, JT, you and I talked earlier, Antonio Pierce, what a good guy. You know, John Gruden, what a good guy. But I think this Pete Carroll, there's something about him, and he wins, and he's got probably the best offensive coordinator ever. This guy, Chip Kelly, do you remember Oregon?
Yeah.
Nobody even knew how to cope with this offense that guy can put in. and I followed him back in Philly, and I think him being a head coach, he was distracted from his real, what he does best is run an offense. I like what our offense is going to do this year. I like Pete Carroll picked, our quarterback and brought him out to Seattle, and he played for Pete, and he'll play for the Raiders. And I think our defense, we added a few guys, everybody, let's hope everybody stays healthy and we just have a great season. I'm just so excited. I feel so bad for Mort. Great guy. One of a kind. I'll never forget him. And, and him meeting my family. And, oh, my God. It was almost embarrassing sometimes. He would go so overboard. But that's good.
Phil, one other thing before you go, and I appreciate you calling on this Raider Mort tribute show. When we talked, you mentioned Gruden and Antonio Pierce, and you're always coming out for alumni weekend. You always get one-on-one time with the new head coach, and you get it because you're always optimistic, right? Why wouldn't you be? You want to win. You got Raider blood pumping through you. But you're right about Pete Carroll. This is a guy who's a made man from USC and the national championships to a Super Bowl, and he was a coach in two Super Bowls. He should have two. It's just different now what the Raiders need to do. And Pete Carroll doesn't want to wait 2 or 3 years. He really wants to hit the ground running. And I know you saw some of the Ashton Jeanty video. You didn't know a lot about him, but I was talking to you. You did your homework on this new running back. Oh, my God, I'd like to see you meet this kid in the hole. Vintage Foo in your prime going up against Ashton Jeanty. That would have been a battle.
Oh, that would have been a fun one. And he just doesn't go down.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this, JT, and this kid doesn't want to go down. He wants to keep going. And, I remember 3 or 4 years ago, we thought we had the right offensive line. Well, man, I hope we got it now. We've been improving every year. But, man, we gotta open some holes for this kid. And then a quarterback, forget about it. You got a runner like that, you can do anything you want in the backfield. I think the Raiders have got themselves in position to win. I cannot wait for opening day in New England. Slap those boys. I can't wait, man. It's going to be so exciting this
Thank
year.
Thank you, Foo. Stay out of that Jersey storm, man. The rain that was flowing. I know that wasn't exactly your neighborhood, but I guess we'll see you out here for alumni weekend, right?
Yep. Hey, JT, we've had some crazy, crazy weather back here. I don't even know what's going on. It's like 100 degrees and 100 humidity, and then all of a sudden it pours, and then all of a sudden it's beautiful. Like, it just poured about an hour ago. Now it's gorgeous outside. I'm going to go have a cold beer on the back porch
after we
get done.
Thanks,
I didn't want to have too many beers before I talk to you.
That's fair enough. Thank you, Foo. Love you, man. Thanks for doing this.
Love you, too, and love all Raider Nation.
Phil Villapiano, one of Raider Mort's favorites. Need to mix in the legends. Got another one coming up. Got another one coming up here in a little bit. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to tell stories about Raider Mort for 2 hours. My show, this is what we're doing for my friend. And if you're a Raider fan, you probably met Mort if you lived in Oakland. And spread the word to people who are listening in Oakland. You can see some of the videos and the pictures that we have on YouTube. They're getting me pretty emotional. Some I've never seen. So if you can get me and send me any photos that you have with Mort on X at JT the Brick, I'll send them to my son and he'll turn them around and put it up there. It's always nice when you get a chance to say goodbye to a friend. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to Mort. I don't remember the last phone call because we talked almost every day for 20 years. But it was a couple of weeks ago. He wasn't doing well. I told him, Mort, hang in there. Don't miss your doctor's appointments. Make sure you show up to your appointments. They'll send some transportation. Get to your appointments. You got to fight through everything that happened. And then he was taken from us. And it's just a shame. I'll never delete his name from my phone because he was like a brother to me. It had a big, big impact on my life. It's fair to say that I wouldn't be sitting in this seat this long if it wasn't for Raider Mort. It's our tribute show today, 702-365-9200. If you're on hold, I'll get to you. I got some other people checking in throughout the show today that I reached out to and said, of course, we'll be ready to go. If you want to get in, or if you got anything you want to post, go on X at JT the Brick, and we'll keep this show moving. Heavy day today, emotional day today, a day I never expected, but this is what we do to say goodbye to the legends of the Raiders.
I feel like there's always something you can learn. That's what this whole thing is about. You know, obviously we're on different teams, but for this weekend, you know, we're on the same team together. So, yeah, it's really cool. And, you know, pass rush, you know, community is a very tight-knit one. You learn from the best and seeing those guys and what they do to win. And for me, it's just about taking as much information as I possibly can and try to apply it into my game.
Yeah, we're playing Raider Mort music. He loved, loved, loved this. His bar, WPLJs. He played the oldies. He loved everything. But he loved the 60s and the 50s. And I love Raider Mort. We got some good audio coming in. A lot of people are checking in. And we're saluting one of our Raider brothers who have passed on, Raider Mort, Steve Martara from San Jose State. What a career he had. Lived in Montecito. Had a big history in Vallejo, did really well in real estate. You know, Chris checked in and, you know, Mort was a guy who owned some real estate that was worth big bucks. And he didn't have big bucks, but he worked as a bouncer in the summers up in Tahoe. So he bought a cabin up there. Real fit guy, big, strong guy when he was young in his 20s and 30s. Was always in great shape. He was amazing, always in great shape. And then he started accumulating condos, and he bought his big house on the hill in Montecito, where he passed away. And just a guy who worked hard. He was a grinder. I mean, think of that. The guy was a school teacher, and then he'd leave school, and then he'd go to his nightclub and work his nightclub till 1, 2 in the morning, and then be back at school. And made a lot of money. Wink, wink. A lot of cash he made back in the day when you own bars, if you know what I'm talking about. And the times I went to WPLJs, it was a lot of fun. So I'm going to try to celebrate Raider Mort's life today. Raider 66 has got a lot of similarities to the history of the Raiders with Mort. Go ahead, 66. How are you?
Hey, JT, thank you. And my condolences to you and his family and all the friends. And, you know, I'm probably the only person today that's going to call in that never met him. I never had the honor of meeting him. I always wanted to. I know you wanted to hook us up a few times, and it's just something I missed out on. But Raider Mort, you know, he came along at the right time. He was born in Vallejo. He was a Bay Area guy. And it was about 13. I think he was around 13 when the Raiders were born in 1960. So he got in on the ground floor of Raider Nation, and everything was about to be. His knowledge and passion came from his firsthand experience. He lived it. He was there. And all that memorabilia, I think that Mark Davis should get it, and he should build that Raider Hall of Fame and stock it with the stuff that Raider Mort has accumulated all over all these years. You know, he was probably one of the kids, too, that was playing around with the Raider players in the early 60s on Frank Yule Field after the games. The kids would go out there, they'd be rolling around with the players. I'll bet he was one of them, and he was among one of the first to see pro football at Candlestick Park. Raider Mort was a great Raider fan because of his passion and his knowledge and from just being there and experiencing all of it. But he was a great person because of his time and his freely giving of it to others to help them out. You know, it says a lot about the Raider organization that they acknowledged his passing in a press release. I mean, there's lip service from other teams, you know, hey, we care about our fans, but the Raiders, it's not lip service. Raider Nation and the Raiders are very, very close, and it is a family. Rest in peace, Raider Mort. You will always be with us in our memories. And, hey, say hi to Al and the guys up there for us, okay? Thanks, JT.
Thanks, 66. Raider 66. I often compare him to Raider Mort because of the deep history that they have with the team. And I like what you said at the end, because I guarantee you Raider Mort has access to Al Davis. Now, on the other side. He does. He has access to him because, you know, when the Raiders put that out, you know, I got a text from inside the Raiders before they put it out, and I was brought to tears. It was in New Paltz, New York, with my 87-year-old dad, my 85-year-old mom. Knowing that he passed away, I forwarded the information to the Raiders, and the Raiders got back to me probably 2-3 hours later with the statement, and they ran it by me, and they sent it out. I said, can you believe this? I was telling my nephew. I go, the Raiders, the famed Raiders, are putting out a statement about a fan who passed away. And you probably notice over the last year, if you go to Raider games at Allegiant Stadium, they are putting members of Raider Nation, Raider fandom, on the cover of the programs. Violator, Gorillarilla, right? They put Black Hole Rob Rivera up when he passed away. They did a nice tribute to him in the stadium and put him on the cover of one of their programs. I mean, no one does this. You know, we talk about the Raiders. They're going to have alumni weekend, the weekend the 49ers are in town. No one brings that many alumni out. Some teams bring their alumni back, but not at the level of the Raiders. And then the Raiders have these connections with their fans. And one of the things about Mort that I'll share about this, which was pretty private, but I think it's I can share it now. There was a point where the Black Hole and the Raiders weren't getting along. The organization and the Black Hole. And Mort was trying to broker the peace. Because Mort was a guy who was in the Black Hole. But he's a dapper guy, and there's a lot of dapper men and women in the Black Hole, and there's a lot of other people in the Black Hole that are, you know, wearing their outfits and they're passionate, and you don't know them behind the makeup the way you think you might. And Mort was right in the middle of all of them. And Mort was a broker of everybody just having a good time. Just a great guy. Cisco, diehard member of the Black Hole, one of the top Black Hole members, and a good friend to Raider Mort. What's happening, Cisco?
Oh, JT, you know, once again, thank you for doing this. It's needed. It's something we didn't want to happen. And, you know, like you'd mentioned earlier, you know, you kind of kept me up to speed whenever we saw each other on Mort's condition and that. And we dreaded this day. We talked about it, you know, numerous times. And it happened. You know, you're the one that called me and told me. Kind of, you know, was something really hard to swallow. Mort was such a great human being. His character, you know, just everything about him was great. You know, the conversations, the knowledge. I mean, we don't even need to talk about that. That goes without saying. But just a genuine man. And, you know, the world and Raider Nation is going to miss a guy like that. And, you know, talking to Fu the other day, I mean, just you just talking to him now, just it felt like the other day when, you know, calling when I think I sent you the voicemail that Fu called me and left me about having Franco come to the tailgate and me calling Rob and letting him know. And Rob was like, I got to think about this one. And he called me the next day and said, look, we'll go ahead and do this. I don't want to ruin your friendship with Phil, but we got to do it right. I'm going to get Raider Mort on the phone, get him. And he came out and did an amazing job at the tailgate inducting Franco Harris into the Black Hole. And it'll be a day I'll never forget. And I'll have to say, that's the last time I really had a good conversation with Mort, and I'll cherish it forever. Rest in peace, buddy, and you're going to be missed, Mort.
Thanks, Cisco. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Could tell you're getting emotional there at the end. Yeah, the conversations I had with Mort at the end of his life were not very good because he was in a bad place physically after he had a stroke, and I never heard him talk that way because he was so eloquent with the way he talked throughout his life. So that was, you know, really tough to see a guy. Whenever someone passes on, it's really hard. But this one, to me, just hit differently. It hit differently because I remember all the times with Mort where he'd always walk into the Coliseum with a coffee. Wasn't a drinker. Didn't do shots. Didn't drink. Wasn't a big guy who would like to throw back the beers. And he'd always walk into the game. And if it was a cold game, there were some cold games at the Coliseum. Windy. Wet. And Mort would walk in with his cup of coffee, and he would go to the West Side Club and get a refill, then go sit in his seats, which was right up against the suites. Great seats, season ticket holder. And Mike Taylor from the Raiders, an iconic member of the Raider organization, would sit with him, and I'd go sit with him, and we'd just spend a good 20 minutes. And in my role with the Raiders, if I was working the sidelines during the game or anything like that, I would go to Mort to try to ask him about the game plan. Mort, you know, the team's played six games. You've been to four of them. What are they doing wrong? What do they need to do? I remember he'd be – Mort had a great line that he always said to me. He says, looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. He always used that line a lot. And then the other line that Mort uses that I use a lot, and I attribute to him when you hear me say it, he's just a guy. And I take pride in the fact that anybody who's in the NFL is an NFL player. That's pretty special. But Mort knew the difference between a guy who was just out there, who was a good player, and an elite player. And Mort loved the fact that when he got to know all the great Raiders of the 70s and 80s, you know, I'm talking the Hall of Fame players, the great players like Gene Upshaw, Art Shell, Biletnikoff, and Freddie was great to him. He knew the difference, and he wanted the other guys to play better because he covered so many great, he went to so many great Raider games. I mean, was there a better time than growing up in the 70s and being in your teens and 20s and going to Raider games? Oh, my God, what was that like? I was watching on TV back home the late game when the sun-drenched skies would appear on my television in cold winter days, and the Raiders would be on the late game in the sunny Coliseum. But imagine going to those games in the 70s and watching that quality of football and to be able to see it. So we've talked to a bunch of fans already. I got open lines. I anticipate more people are going to call in. We got a couple of guests who are going to call in, too. So if you want to get in, we're doing a two-hour tribute to a great fan, Raider Mort. If you don't call in much, today's a good day to do it. 702-365-9200. Top of the hour is going to be pretty good. We got a couple of people who I scheduled for the top of the hour. You want to stick around for that. And then you can check out all the pictures. If you want to post anything, if you're a Raider fan, put it on my X, and I'll put it up in our stream at JT the Brick. And there's a couple of old school pictures of the Oakland parking lot and some cool ones out there. Jump on board. We want you to get in here today. The show is brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue 5 to 7, midnight to 2. The best happy hour in town. Head on out to PTs. Why wouldn't you? Get out of the heat and go watch sports. I want to dedicate the show to Mort, but I got to tell you about that All-Star game last night, too. Huh. I was on live for that, doing the play-by-play. That's a night I'll never forget.
Yeah, I really feel so fortunate that we were able to get that done. John, you know, got it done. John Spytek got it done for us because of all that he brings. You know, he's been emblematic of what a leader should be by his habits and by the way he brings himself every day. He's the first guy out here. He's the last guy to leave. It's really important to him that he stands for what leadership is all about. And he's a good football player, too. He's looked great in practice so far. So we're really excited about what he's bringing.
That's Pete Carroll as he's talking about Geno Smith. Welcome back to our Steve Mortara Raider Mort tribute show, one of the great Raider fans of all time. Kind of bummed out, too, that Mort won't be around to see Pete Carroll coach this team, because Mort had great things to say about that. He was really excited about this new chapter for the Raiders. I can swear with that. He told me that a number of times. As we continue on, if you want to get through before the top of the hour or next hour, let's get moving here again. There are certain days I blank and moan about the phones. Other days I'm cool with it. Today's the day I put aside 2 hours. We got a couple of guests coming up at the top of the hour. If you want to fight through, get in 702-365-9200 as we continue on. And we'll have some audio of Mort speaking a little bit later on, speaking at a tailgate party, which is going to be interesting. And Bobby, right now, I wanted to talk to you for a second. You knew Mort well because of all the times you screened his calls, got to know him, and he would keep you on the phone a little bit longer. We'd want to get him on the show, and he'd call you. Tell us about Mort.
All right. First of all, this all goes back to the sports fan days. So this is back in the last century. Mm-hmm. But we used to have a bunch of guys that called the show every day. Raider Mort was obviously one of them. When I talked to him, it was much more about music. It mm-hmm. wasn't about sports at all. We used to talk about music. He was a huge Motown guy, huge 60s R&B kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Asked me if I knew a few bands. I'd throw a few back at him. He remembered a couple, so on. Got to get you on the air. Hold on. Boom. And there he goes. But, I mean, I didn't really spend a lot of time talking Raiders or anything mm-hmm. like that. We just talked music.
Yeah, Mort loved Motown.
Oh, yeah.
He loved Motown.
Oh, yeah.
He loved to dance. He loved to dance.
Well, I don't know about that part, but I know he loved Motown.
Yeah, he did love Motown. Before we get back to this, I just want to mix in some sports today. Mort would love me to do that. So last night was a night of my career on the radio that I'll never forget. So many nights I'm on during a game. And when it's a big game like the All-Star game, which is big, or the National Championship game, which is on a Monday, those are tough shows for me. People think they're easy. No, they're hard because no one's listening. They're watching the game. But you still got to do a radio show. So last night, I go into the All-Star game, and I'm doing it from my house. And when I start the show, it's about the fifth inning. So I do my monologue. I come out. It's the sixth inning. And the National League is winning 5-0. Pete Alonso then made it 6-0. Alonso made it 5-0. He had a 3-run homer, and it looked like the National League was going to roll. I mean, it was pretty much over. The American League lineup's one of the worst I've ever seen. I mean, it did not look like that wasn't the heyday of the American League. So I didn't think they had much of a chance to come back. And then they hit a 3-run home run. A gentleman, rookie from West Sacramento, hit a 3-run homer. Next thing you know, it's 6-3, 6-4, two outs. In the ninth, they push a run over at 6-6. So I'm on the radio doing the show, and I think it's going to extra innings. Didn't you? So I didn't know, and then they put the format up that they're going to have a home run derby to decide the All-Star game. They're going to take three players from each team and allow them three swings each. That's it. You get three swings. And so they alternate, National League, American League. So it starts off, and the National League takes the lead, and I'm watching this, and the American League ties it. Then Kyle Schwarber comes to the plate from the Phillies. He hits three majestic home runs in a row. But I'm on the air the whole time, and like now, I can't take a breath. So I'm just talking, and I'm doing the play-by-play. And it's getting dicey because I'm talking for about 20 minutes straight. And the batting practice pitchers on both teams were throwing the pitches, and the guys weren't swinging. So the ball's coming down the middle, and these guys are just letting it go because they're trying to time it. So I'm saying they let one go. They let one go. So long story short, they end up, Schwarber wins the game. He wins the MVP. So in the moment at that time, I thought it was great because I was on the radio. I'm the only national radio host ever to be on the radio live during that event that never happened before. I thought that was pretty damn cool. I told my wife when I went to commercial, I go, this is something that I'm proud of. I just did 20 minutes on this thing. Then I opened up the phones. People were really upset. The MVP of an All-Star game won the MVP as he was hitting batting practice pitches off a guy in his 50s behind a net. Say what you will. Say what you will. He won the MVP. He won the game. But Pete Alonso hit a 3-run homer off of an All-Star pitcher earlier in the game. Shouldn't he be the MVP? No, they gave it to Schwarber. So that was a really big moment in sports history. It was an absolute gimmick. But as I was living in the moment of it, it was pretty damn cool. And I went to bed last night really hyped up, saying, man, I'm really proud of the job I did taking this and taking it to the listener, whoever was listening. I'm not saying it was, you know, didn't break ratings records. People were watching it. But one of the callers, you know, Big D called in, and he made a really good point about the fact that the MVP of an All-Star game, something we take pride in, this is an award Stan Musial, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Pete Rose, whoever it was, you win the MVP of the All-Star game, you do it up against another All-Star. Last night in sports, in an exhibition game at the end of the game, they didn't play extra innings. They had the swing off, a home run derby. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't got a lot of time to talk about it today, but it was really weird. And I woke up today not as excited as I was as I went to bed last night. Last night, I thought it was the greatest thing I ever saw. And I was talking about it to my wife this morning, because she's a Schwarber fan, because he played for the Cubs. And I'm like, really? Do you want to have that MVP award on your mantle in your house? It's a beautiful award. Derek Jeter handed him that bat for the MVP. And he won the award by hitting it off a batting practice pitcher. What are we doing in sports?
You know, that's a shame.
I mean, it is a shame, that's but really it was cool.
Okay, fine. It's about as cool as the Home Run Derby on Monday. Yeah, okay, it's cool to watch, but you know what I mean? One thing I liked about the All-Star Game is the fact that they let them go back to the regular uniforms.
That was great.
For me, I thought that was kind of cool.
But can you imagine, there's 50,000 people there in the stands, right?
Yeah.
Then there's 1,000 media, total combined people.
Right.
If you would have surveyed every single person coming into the game and said, how's it going to end? There wouldn't have been one person in the entire stadium who would have said it would have ended in a swing-off against a batting practice pitcher.
See, that's nonsense.
Isn't that wild?
It's absolute nonsense. Yeah. You know what? You already got it down to where you've got the ghost runner on second. Why don't you just do that?
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going to do.
That would make much more sense than the swing-off. From a 50-year-old pitcher throwing balls? Come on.
Yep, that's it. We are going to have a big hour coming up. I'm going to get back to the Raider Mort tribute show. So I'm going to take a little bit of a break to hydrate here. When we come back, we got a couple of special guests who are going to join us right here at the top of the hour. Back-to-back who have some Raider Mort stories to tell. You know, one of our great fans passed away, and I thought it was very appropriate today that we do a couple of hours and pay tribute to him. Phil Villapiano joined us. Several members of the Black Hole checked in. More callers are getting on hold. If you'd like to share some pictures, do it on X at JT the Brick. And we'll do another hour, and I'll feel pretty good about it. I'm devastated that Mort passed away, but I'm happy that we have a platform and a show to at least talk about him, because he deserves that. He deserves more, but he deserves this. Hour number two next.